Hello, everybody, and welcome to Beyond the Furthest Stars. I am your host and GM for this game, Avery Fisher, and I am so excited to bring you this sci-fi actual play experience. I am joined by a talented cast of people. Some you may know from other podcasts I've done, and some people whom you've yet to meet. We have Chris and Zach, both coming back from Are We Dead Yet? Over to this podcast. And we also have B. They are a wonderfully talented artist. We have Janine. They are a wonderfully talented actor. And we have Caden, a wonderfully talented cosplayer. And I'm so happy to have met all of these people. And the sessions we've already recorded are so great, and I can't wait to bring them to you and show you what kind of fun we're having at this table. So sit back and relax, and let's go on a sci-fi journey beyond the furthest stars. So our scene opens on a ship in the outer reaches of the Tochia system. This ship is the Eos, a great battleship serving the Tartarus hegemony. The ship is serviced by some of the finest warriors in the outer rim of the Moirai galaxy. It sports a large array of weapons, shields, and armor. Its sleek silver hull is in sharp contrast to the random collection of ships, freighters, and gunboats waiting for it in the asteroid belt nearby. Our camera shifts perspective, growing ever closer to the ship. Slipping through the atmospheric barrier of the hangar bay, past a battered-looking free merchant ship, down the lift to deck 3, past the med bay, the mess hall, the robot repair bay, to a small door marked Hegemony Personnel Only. This room is the engine room, and our camera settles on an interaction between two hegemony soldiers guarding the door and a lone figure. B, could you please describe what we see when we look at Polaris?
Sure. So Polaris is about 5'10". He is currently wearing a baseball cap with his hair pulled into kind of a bun. He has curly, light blue hair. He has an undercut, and he has blue freckles that kind of dot his face. Same color as his hair. He's currently wearing like coveralls, but it's like tied around his waist, and he has a tool belt with his helmet on his tool belt and a high collared uniform and a name tag that says CAT.
Wonderful. So you have approached the engineering room. Your journey here to the Eos has been interesting, to say the least. Your parental units, I guess you could say, hired a smuggler for what seemed to them a routine job. However, you and the custodians had other plans, and you snuck aboard that smuggler's ship and hid inside of their smuggler's hold to get to the Eos. And so far, everything has gone according to plan. The captain of that smuggler's ship got pulled into the Eos, got taken away for smuggling, something like that. You're not really sure, but you were able to pull a quick uniform change, sneak off of the smuggler's ship, and kind of blend in with some of the other civilian workers on this warship. And you've made your way to deck 3, and you are here outside the engineering room. Your goal is so close, and you have just been stopped by these two guards, and one of them says, "Hey, you're not supposed to be here. What are you doing?"
Polaris just kind of like looks at them for like an uncomfortably long amount of time without saying anything before pointing to his name tag and saying, "Focused. I'm supposed to be here for maintenance."
Maintenance? I didn't hear anything about maintenance. You got any orders or what?
This is just where I was told to be.
Cool. Could you roll the very first roll of the game? Either charisma or intelligence connect or talk check.
Ah, I have neither of those, so yikes. I'm going to go with intelligence, which gives me, well, it'll even it out because I don't have anything in talk or connect. So.
And I'm also granting you a plus one modifier because there's no way these soldiers know every single civilian worker.
Okay, I'm just rolling 2d6 and then adding all of the bonuses and whatnot.
Yes.
Okay, I got a 6.
A 6?
Yeah.
Close. The second one, the second one draws on you.
Oh, cool.
And is just like, you know, no one's supposed to go in the engineering room. We got robots for that, you know.
Polaris will just like put his hands up like a defensive sort of, whoa, okay, dude, and just say, then where am I supposed to go?
Well, I don't know. You see, no one goes in the engineering room, not even us. But you can always head back and grab your commanding officer and, you know, see if they can escort you down here, if this is really where you're supposed to be, you know?
Confused. I was given orders to be here. Do you really want to incur the wrath of my commanding officer?
Ooh, that's good. Yeah, let's... I want to say... No, I don't think you would, but yeah. Go ahead and roll a lead check.
What ability would I be using for that? Because
oh, sorry. It would probably be charisma.
Oh, sweet. So I got a negative one because I'm not trained in that either.
Oh, no.
Okay. Ah, 6.
I'm gonna give it to you because there's one thing these guys don't like. It's incurring the wrath of commanding officers, and so the other one like kind of waves his hand at the fellow who drew on you, and just like, hey, maybe we should just let it go. I mean, not like he can do any damage in there anyway. It's, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, I guess so. It doesn't look like he has any weapons on him. Okay, but we'll be watching. We'll be listening for any shenanigans, okay?
Polaris nods and like stares at the guy that drew on him for another uncomfortable few seconds before heading towards the door.
And you are inside the engineering bay after a few tense moments that may or may not come back to bite you.
That's fine. I don't need to be here long.
It's fine. You step into this engineering bay, and computers and servers and all kinds of electronics are beeping and humming in here. It's almost like there's almost a pattern to it, almost as if it's like the ship breathing in and out. It's very pulsing. It's very relaxing, probably, too. The generator is in the middle of the room here. And I'm going to move you to here real quick.
Aw, sweet.
So as you step in, you see all these different computers. The generator in the middle is feeding the ship its electricity. And there are some robots kind of flicking around here and there, stress testing some systems, measuring fluid levels, the kind of stuff that robots do, you know? There's two of them that are inside their little charging bays, probably recharging or something. They pay no attention to you at all as you come in. Towards the back of this room is what you came for. It's an apparatus that is basically a computer system connected to a bunch of computerized locks. And these locks are on a container that holds the prize that you came for, the ship's artificial intelligence. How do you proceed?
Sweet. Well, Polaris is literally just going to like, he's not going to like look at around at anything else. He's just going to straight beeline for what he came here for. And is there like a panel or something where he can like connect any sort of, does he know if he can communicate with this AI?
Yeah, so there are several different consoles here. You're not sure which one, but you know that one of them probably would let you communicate directly with the AI. And you could probably make an intelligence program check to figure out which one.
All right, cool. Again, super, super not sure.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I do have a plus one to intelligence. I just don't have anything in program. So it's going to be a flat roll. So that's a 8.
Hey, there you go. Just enough. Yeah, so you know that. So just a quick look at some of the controls on this console. You see the one on the left is definitely a communications console of some kind. The one on the right looks like it connects directly to the computerized locks. And the central computer looks like it connects to the generator, the power generator for the ship.
Okay. You said the center was... Oh my gosh, I like completely forgot. I'm sorry. Can you...
Oh, no, you're fine.
What was the center?
Left is communications, center is the generator, and the right is... Oh gosh, what? Now I forgot what I said. Jeez.
The locks? Was it the security
locks? Yes, the locks. Thank you. Yes, that is what it was. Sorry.
Okay. You're fine. Would Polaris know if it's like a direct communication to the AI or just like a general comm system that anyone can listen in on?
You're not sure how they set this one up, but you recognize the layout of the commands on the keyboard and recognize that it's communications of something, and kind of putting two and two together, this connects only to the AI. So you're pretty sure that that's what it's for. It's probably something to use as like a diagnostic system to communicate with the AI.
All right, sweet. Polaris is probably going to go over to the comms panel then, and he's going to put on his helmet so that he can use his comms and probably try and communicate with the AI before he proceeds to do anything.
You boot up the system here, and there's a little glowing monitor panel with like a little blue line across it, and it doesn't do anything at first. And then suddenly a voice comes from the speaker here, and it says, "Greetings, I am Hermes. Please state your purpose."
Recovery.
I am operating at 99.8% efficiency.
Flares kind of rolls his eyes in his helmet and says, "I'm here to recover you. You sent a message to my custodians."
Ah. You are Catalyst Designation Polaris?
Correct.
Yes. Architect Designation Alioth said you would come. Also said that there was a 63% chance that you would get caught.
Humorous. They never had much faith in my ability to sneak around.
Well, if you are here, I assume you also brought the replacement?
I have.
Excellent. Begin the unlocking process, and we shall hopefully get out of here in one piece. I do detect a large swarm of enemy ships closing in on this ship, so you best hurry.
Noted. Will I be able to communicate with you when I remove you?
I will go offline as soon as I am removed from this apparatus.
Noted. Polaris will go then to pull in Indiana Jones.
All right. You start hacking away at this computer, and it's kind of a slow process at first. But finally, the last electronic lock clicks off, and suddenly the apparatus opens up and a tray shoots out with the AI crystal sitting on it, just sitting there innocently.
How big is this crystal?
About the size of your fist.
Yeah, it's like a comically large diamond, I think.
Yeah, basically.
Like a cartoon diamond.
I'm really picturing the giant diamonds from Batman and Robin that Mr. Freeze uses for his...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Maybe a little smaller than a Chaos Emerald.
Yeah, that works too.
yoink.
Yoink. Do you place the dummy backup in there?
Yeah, Polaris probably has the dummy in his hand and then like swaps it out as quickly as he can.
Cool. Yeah, you swap this in, and there's like a little, almost like a, like on a disc, a CD drive on like a computer. Mm-hmm. There's a little button and you push it and the little tray goes back into the apparatus and the locks close back in and lock in place. And you're just tucking the crystal into your pack when suddenly the ship violently shakes and you feel an impact on the ship from somewhere. The ship is now under attack, and we're going to shift perspectives for a moment. Back just a few moments.
Oh.
To a lovely little kitchen mess hall area where we see a creature who seems a bit perplexed by something that just occurred. Caden, could you please describe Bruce to us?
Absolutely. So Bruce is an imposing alien creature who's 7 feet tall, bulky and big. He best looks like a reptilian, kind of with a long tail, the color of dead grass that kind of transitions from a green to a yellow. The head kind of looks like a frog's with big eyes, which are black with white pupils. And he's just very big, very large, very imposing. And he probably is standing there with his head slightly to the side and just slowly blinking.
Yeah, and the thing that has you perplexed is that you just had a conversation with someone who earlier in the week you knew them as Commander Voss, and they just introduced themselves as Admiral Voss, V-O-S, spelling, by the way. And she was down here berating you for overly seasoned food. She went on a long tirade about how seasonings and flavor made soldiers forget that they were soldiers and got morale too high for her liking. And that, as a chef, I assume that probably perplexes you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit weird. It's a bit of a...
No fun allowed.
No fun allowed.
Excuse me?
And because, Bruce, you love food, right? Like, that's why you became a chef, to share your love of food with people and whatnot. And this person just kind of told you, knock it off with the fancy stuff and just serve gruel. And in her swift exit, didn't even give you a chance to really explain or defend yourself or anything. She knocked over like a rack of spices onto the ground, looked down at it, and then just continued walking as if nothing in the world was wrong. So how do you react to this little situation?
I feel like Bruce would sweep the knocked over spices with his tail into a little pile and bend down and examine to see if any of them aren't broken or if it's just a complete disarray of this is all garbage now.
Hey, I'll roll a percentage dice. We'll see. Yeah, so about half of the jars just shattered completely onto the ground. And now there's little bits of glass in some of your paprika and your cumin and, you know, your garlic powder is fine, though. So that's good. But, you know, about half of your spices are just toast at this point.
I think there's a deep sigh. And he just slowly picks out the spices that are good and puts them back on the countertop and just kind of stands there for a second looking at the other ones on the floor and just shakes his head and then just very, like, make sure that they're all swept away and safely deposited, and then goes back to whatever he was cooking and doubles the spices.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Cool. So yeah, what is Bruce cooking?
I think Bruce right now is cooking what used to be a reasonable, like, beef stew. There's bread that's baking in the oven. There's, like, a side of different, like, additions. So if someone wants more vegetables or if they want a beef option that's not actually real beef, but, like, tofu, there's, like, a second dish that's vegetarian. and he's kind of working on these different things. But as soon as this interaction happened, he was like, we're changing courses from this not mediocre stew, because he would never make anything mediocre. But it's just like, no. We're going to jazz this up even more.
Some spite spices.
Yes.
Spite spices.
Just go salt bay all over it.
Cool. Yeah, so you're cooking away, and you know, maybe after that interaction, maybe you're just kind of getting into a groove of cooking and whatnot, and the aroma is just wafting through your kitchen now and filling the hallway and starting to go into the robotics bay and the med bay that are on this deck as well. But as you're cooking this, and the timer goes off for the bread that's in the oven, when you feel the ship shake violently and these red flashing lights come on and you hear an alarm system just blaring and just kind of drowning out any noises in here, including the noise from your alarm that you set for your bread maker. And the ship is now under attack. What does Bruce do in times of crisis like this?
I feel like the first thing he would probably do is turn off the oven. Safety first, safety always. It's safety first. It's probably not the first time that this has happened, and it's probably not going to be the last. I feel like there's, again, another deep sigh, because this is the important time of cooking, and changing the temperature of this stew might ruin it, but, you know, you can't have accidents in the kitchen. And then I think he probably gets, like, a little side bag, just in case, like, this like anything happens that's worse than just a regular attack. He's always ready to, you know, go if he has to, but he just kind of like starts cleaning away the knives and just making sure everything's in a safe position that if anything was to happen, he doesn't get hurt.
Makes sense. From outside the mess hall, you do hear boots running down the hallway towards the lift. And someone yells, "Oh no, we're under attack. We got to get down to the hangar bay and counterattack now." And the other one says,
yeah, but what about that person in the engineering bay?
Oh, it's fine. They're just a civilian. Let's go. And these two voices carry on down the hallway and into the lift. And we shift perspectives once more to the robotics bay, where we see a robot that's partially put together, sitting inside of a charging station, and a human working studiously at this little robot. Again, we're a few moments before this imminent attack. And in this bay, there are, you know, it's cramped. It's filled with halfway built robots. Wires and parts are everywhere. There's tools kind of scattered all over the floor. Zahn, for you, this is your ideal workstation. You never get too comfortable in one place to really organize your workspace. Zach, could you please describe Zahn to us?
Yes. So Zahn is a older than average, or older than normal player people. He's like in his late 30s. So his hair is starting to gray from its normal like dark brown. His unkempt beard stubble is like got all salt and peppery. He's got really bad posture. He's got that like not full shrimp Igor, but he's definitely got a hunch just from working in tight spaces for his entire life. And he has a lot of stuff. He has like all of his personal belongings on his person at all times, pretty much. So he's got a decent sized backpack and his pistol and his like tech tools and handheld computers all have their own special place on his person, because unlike the environment that he surrounds himself in, his getup is very organized for optimal carrying capacity, I guess. He's wearing a like full like mechanics oversuit with like lots of belts and big old heavy like work boots. And his helmet is the only thing that he's not carrying. It is currently on the table behind him.
When you reported to duty today, you were assigned the task of repairing one of the service bots from the mess hall. It tripped last night maybe one of the soldiers tripped it, who knows. But its photoreceptors got damaged pretty badly. You had to disassemble basically its entire head to get to its photoreceptors. You had to remove its behavior matrix and remove its inhibitor chips in order to get to where these photoreceptors are located. Chris, aside from your head missing, could you describe what this robot looks like?
Well, I'm not sure how far you want to go with the AI core thing, like for Ollie. Because if so, he himself is actually one of the Chaos Emeralds. yeah, he...
What color?
Blue. Yeah, he's one of the Chaos Emeralds. His true form is that of one of the AI cores.
Yeah.
Or would be after this interaction.
Okay.
As he is a normal, unassuming robot at this point, inhabiting a standard service chassis. It is boxy and angular in shape with fairly slender limbs in order to get into those tight to reach spaces. And oh yeah, he is headless at the moment, so
he's headless. Poor guy.
What color is your AI emerald?
Blue.
Blue? Very cool. Yeah, totally. So even though your head is disconnected from your body and your ocular sensors are not working, other than that, you decide or notice in your programming that you suddenly can decide a little bit more of what you want to do. And so you've decided to turn on your other sensors to kind of get a feel for what's going on in this moment. And you hear sort of some shuffling around of tools towards like the back of your body. You hear like some screwing and some soldering and different things like that. And you're kind of doing an internal check of some of your subroutines, and you're noticing that several of them are missing. And that's kind of weird, but you know, at the moment, you're not much you can do. You're kind of immobilized here. But Zahn, you finish screwing in these ocular sensors, and you connect the last wire, and Ollie, your visual sensors flip on, and you realize why you're noticing a lot more free will at this moment is because sitting on the table next to Zahn are a collection of chips, one of them being your inhibitor, your behavior inhibitor chip, your aggression inhibitor chip, I should say. And Zahn, you begin kind of reassembling Ollie's head, and you remember that the directions that you were given specifically stated that you needed to replace the chips in this order: advertisements, service and etiquette, virtual emotion simulator, and finally the aggression inhibitor chip. How do you proceed?
Well, I'm going to actively lose the advertisements chip.
Oh, I'm glad everyone here is insubordinate. Oh no.
Ooh, you have no idea how much of a good choice that is. It was going to still be functional.
Because advertisements have gotten really, really corny in this day and age. And Zahn doesn't want to hear that shit. And if he can make even the smallest little dent not having to hear that shit, he like snaps it and he's like, oops, and tosses it. And then he proceeds in the correct order.
Okay. Ollie, could you roll me a percentage dice, please?
18.
18?
Woo, 18%.
Okay.
That's woo, either really fine. Good or really, really bad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine.
Okay.
You wanted
time to put in 18% of the chips.
Nope. You wanted below 33%. So
okay.
You're good.
Oh, got it.
Noise.
Cool. Okay. So you start, you just kind of toss the advertisements chip behind you into a pile of like tools and stuff. Like, oops, whatever. And you begin assembling these other chips. You get the service and etiquette chip in there. And Ollie, you feel some of your missing programming kind of come back. And you're like, oh, right, okay. I know how to take care of a ship and, you know, make sure that the people are comfortable. The virtual emotion simulator chip comes on, and Ollie, you feel kind of a surge of subroutines come on that allow you to emulate emotions and kind of feel empathy with some of the soft, squishy beings that you interact with on a daily basis. And Zahn, you're about to grab the aggression inhibitor chip when you feel the ship shake violently from that attack. And the inhibitor chip falls into a bucket that was strategically placed below the table that contains a bunch of other chips. And you fall to the ground. Ollie, you stay in place because there's a clamp that's holding you in place. And you watch as your aggression inhibitor chip falls into this bucket. From your perspective and from the camera's perspective, we see this bucket of chips just kind of mixed together. And that inhibitor chip is somewhere in there now with a bunch of identical looking chips. And we're not really sure what is going to happen there. But Zahn, you're on the floor now. And your last thing that you needed to finally get this robot back to almost 100% is now gone. And there's this bucket of chips laying next to you. What do you do?
Well, as the ship is violently rocking, Zahn is going to pick himself up, slip his helmet on, which is fairly cylindrical in shape. With three like glowing blue lines across it that are basically like its ocular sensors, so it can actually see outside.
Sure.
And it pulls up the heads up display for like comms or notifications or anything, and obviously this just happened, so nobody knows what's going on yet. And looks down at the bucket, looks at the robot. Now we could probably use this guy. And he finishes reassembling the robot so that maybe he could be good cannon fodder.
You go to try and close the back panel on Ollie's head, and it just won't clamp shut. There's just not enough. There's just something that needs to be there in order for it to fully clamp shut.
Is it because it's missing two chips now?
It might be because it's missing a couple chips.
What kind of chips are in this bucket?
They all look the same. There's some code written on each of them that you might be able to identify if you had a reference book. If you were to scan over a couple of them, you could see like some of them are like possibly related to, you know, more service and etiquette, some piloting subroutines, just different hodgepodge of stuff.
So I'm going to grab a fistful of them and scatter them on the table. And I would like to roll a intelligence program to attempt to identify two solid ones.
Sure. Go ahead.
Is an 8.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good. Let's see. You identify one that is a service repair chip, and you identify one that is a assassination chip.
Oh yeah, and that sounds useful.
I don't know if that's what Chris wants, but you know, maybe out of character, you two can discuss if that's something you want to do.
I mean, I'm down for randomness. if that's what you want to go for, I haven't
built and
skills around that. But
no, hold on. There's one more. You also find a bureaucratic chip, like for like bureaucratic stuff, just for flavor.
So definitely going to take that first one and plug it in.
Sure.
It was
assassination if you want.
Right? I mean, you were already a former kill bot anyway, right, Chris?
No, I'm kind of going for more of a just normal robot.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure because based on the session zero, that's what I was.
Oh, I forgot to mention. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. It's all good.
So Zahn is thinking meat shield. I'm going to put in the bureaucratic chip that he can talk whoever invades to death.
Sure. Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and pocket a handful of other chips along with the assassination chip.
Sure.
That sounds like fun fucking with later.
Yeah, totally. And we'll figure that out later. You feel the ship rock with a second explosion, and you've still got Ollie clamped into this charging bay. What do you do?
Once I finish getting him all put together, I'm going to release him.
Okay. Ollie, you turn on and you feel a lot of your subroutines replaced with something a little more aggressive, something... not aggressive, because you went bureaucratic, sorry. So you feel, you actually feel...
He doesn't have an inhibitor on his emotions anymore.
On your yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you feel, you can feel the full range of emotions now. That's right. Yeah, so you turn on, and you're fully functional once again, and the ship is, for the best of your, to the best of your knowledge, under attack.
And I am awakened now?
Yes. You have full range of motion.
And I I can still see the pile of chips on the table, or did you clean all that up?
He stuffed a bunch of them into his pocket.
Yeah, but there's obviously still a bucket and then like a handful on the table.
Because having seen all that, Ollie, the first thing he's going to do is kind of like slowly look around, kind of cock his head and look at you. And I don't know if you've noticed Ollie yet, but he's just going to kind of point at the pile of chips and be like, I think you missed a part.
Nah. More like improvised. But I need you to go find... foreign personnel and talk them into not killing us.
No. I don't want to do that.
Well, too fucking bad.
By the way, are you my dad?
No. I'm just the guy who puts you back together. Now, I don't care how or why you're here. Just get out of here. We're under attack of some kind. Just like save yourself or something.
Are you running away as you're saying this?
Yeah. I'm drawing my pistol and I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Ollie's newfound will rebels against following Zahn's advice, but being a pretty smart boy, he knows that that's exactly what he needs to do. So he's going to be like, wait, I'm scared.
Sure.
I'm scared.
The two of you step out into the hallway, and by now the guards have bamped out of there and have gone down the hallway, as we saw in Bruce's scene. And as you step out into the hallway, you hear the lift down the hall ding open, and this figure walks out, and she is covered in, like, torn up clothes. She's a bit bloody. Not too bad, but just, like, clearly injured. She's clearly been in a fight of some kind. Doesn't really take any notice of you and stumbles into what you both know to be the med bay of the ship. And we switch to the med bay for a moment, just moments before this figure walks in, to Marty. As we come into this med bay, it is state-of-the-art in terms of equipment. The beds are able to perfectly mold to a patient's body. The scanners and monitors can synchronize with the patient's vital readings very smoothly. And the medicine is some of the best the fleet has to offer. Inside this brightly lit bay, we see a desk toward the back corner. There are data pads stacked high, requisition forms ready to be sent to the supply officer down on deck 4. And a lone medic sits here as the ship rocks from that second blast hitting the ship. Janine, who do we see sitting here?
You see this small 4'10 figure sitting with like the like a medic jumpsuit with very stylish earrings that have a sun with like stars around it, with like each little point. She has like short, curly black hair that frames like a nice, like sun-kissed, like face. And she's like smiling as she's like doing all this work. But then when the ship kind of jerks, she's like, "Oh, okay, time for work. Okay, so I should do this, but also I think I need to help people." So she'll like stand up and like start like prepping the med bay for like the people that will be coming in for like help until she's told to like evacuate the scene. But she's definitely like prepping.
Yeah. Marty, you are a trained medical professional. You know that when trouble starts, rather than freeze up and get scared, you jump into action. So you start prepping the med bay. You start getting tables ready in case you need to do any kind of surgery or operations. You prepare painkillers and other medicines. And outside of your med bay, you hear the lift ding and you hear a shuffling of feet, and in stumbles someone you weren't probably expecting to see, because couple days ago, they were removed from command. This is the former captain of the Aos, Celia. And she looks like she has been put through the ringer with a good fight. And she stumbles in and just says, medic, and then hits the ground.
I sprint to go and help her.
Sure. Go ahead and make a intelligence or wisdom heal check.
Okay.
Bum. To kind of assess.
This is
2d6 plus your intelligence or wisdom, and then plus your heal.
Oh, that's so nice. I rolled a 9 plus some numbers. That's going to be intelligence plus 1, so 10 plus heal, which I know is also plus 1. Yes, so that's an 11.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, you can see that she's definitely been in a firefight of some kind. She's got some scorch marks from like laser burns sort of like on her like lower abdomen, and then looks like she got cut open a little bit on like the side of her neck a little bit. Not like a full, like, you know, not like someone literally cut her throat, but like something kind of grazed her there. Mm-hmm. And so that's really the source of a lot of the blood on her, is just, you know, that kind of wound just bleeds profusely sometimes. So she's not actually in any deadly danger, but definitely exhausted.
Okay.
And yeah, do you keep her on the floor here? Do you try and help her onto one of the beds?
I'm going to try and get her to one of the beds. I am very weak.
No worries. She's not a super heavy person. Pretty, and even then, medical professionals know how to lift people.
Yeah, you know, yeah. So I'm like going to bring her to one of the beds.
Sure. Yeah. You get her up on this operating table and I assume start like kind of performing stuff to kind of get her stabilized.
Yes. Like in the zone, not paying attention to anything else until like the next, like is keeping an ear out for like any other like injuries coming into the med bay, but it's like, we'll focus intently on this and like start going.
Are you just going to use like the standard medical stuff, or are you going to use any of your psychic stuff yet?
I'm going to save some of those psychic stuff.
Cool. Just making sure.
Psychic
stuff.
Psychic stuff.
Cool. Then go ahead and roll another heal check to get her kind of stabilized.
Hey, Dice, that was nice of you. That's going to be a 10.
Yeah, you apply a few bandages to her burns and with some ointments and stuff. You give her an injection of medicine to help her regain consciousness so that she doesn't go into shock. And as her eyes flutter open, she kind of just grabs like the collar of your shirt. Doesn't like, not violently, but just like to try and like almost as a way to like center herself. Like, okay, wait, I'm still alive. She looks you in the eyes and says, "We need to get out of here."
Like, the ship? I mean, I don't think I heard like anything about leaving the ship yet.
The Admiral's not gonna abandon ship. She's gonna go down fighting because that's just how she works. We gotta get out of here. Trust me. Lower decks have been vaporized, so we gotta go.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds good. Cool. And like, I'll just grab all of my things.
Ollie and Zahn, you've seen this bloody figure walk into the med bay. What do you do?
So as we get, we're going to run towards the lift because that's the way off of this floor. Once I get about here, can I, on my like comm channel or whatever, can I get the notification that the lower floors have been vaporized?
Yeah, there's like on your HUD, you see like a little flashing like exclamation point, and you know, activating that communication, you see like a little text float across your page. Decks 4 through 12 inaccessible. Decks 3 to the bridge and hangar bay still intact.
Yo, we got to get out of here. The below floors have been like looking over the pause to look over the info.
And the actual language is catastrophic decompression. Is the phrase
I've
that's
been
used
vacked.
In the... Yeah, exactly.
The lower floors have been vacked. We gotta get the hell off the ship.
Copy that. You just hear down the hall.
Bruce, you hear some commotion from the hallway, and you hear something about the lower decks not having any air anymore. and you're in the kitchen, still cooking away.
I feel like Bruce sighs once more. Just like grabs the emergency like spacesuit that's probably hanging up somewhere beside like an apron that he also refuses to wear. Grabs like the remaining spices that were salvaged, unplugs his favorite blender, carries it under one arm with the space helmet under the other arm, comes out of the kitchen and just kind of looks down the hallway at the commotion that's going on.
Yeah, you see this robot and this human getting closer to the lift, and you hear a voice from the med bay saying, "We got to get out of here now." When we flash back to the engineering bay for a moment, Polaris, we are back on you, and you've just pulled the old switcheroo. You felt one blast hit the ship so far. What's the plan?
Did I get that notification that because Polaris did put their helmet back on. Did Polaris get that notification?
Oh, yes. You got
the, okay, cool.
Well, not yet. You haven't got that notification yet because that has not happened.
Sweet. Okay.
That happens the second shot.
All right, sweet. Would Polaris know if this generator is specifically for the AI for the whole ship?
So you were given a copy of the schematics of the ship in case you had to crawl around the vents. You know that this generator is powering the ship itself. So it's separate from the AI. It just needed to be plugged into the AI for the AI to operate it if it needed to.
Okay. And are these robots, like, after the first blast, are they doing anything in particular, or are they just chilling?
They are just still plugging away at their tasks because they are just service bots.
All right, cool. Polaris is probably going to leave this room. If there are any exposed wires on the way out, he will pull out his monoblade knife and cut them as he goes, and then he'll leave.
There are several cables on the generator that you could cut.
Ooh. Yeah, Polaris just wants to, like, casually walk by and cut them.
Go ahead and roll a stab skill check.
Let's go.
And let's go dexterity.
I hope your knife is insulated.
Oh. You know, that is a good point. I mean, I imagine it's not like the handle is also metal, no?
Oh, no, I'm just joking.
It could be a gas line. Who knows?
Yeah.
You're going to blow up. I mean, the dice are the dice.
Dang, you actually brought up a pretty good point. Dang. Can players just unplug them?
Sure, that's fine.
Yeah, that's probably way better.
Yeah, and you don't need a skill check for that. You walk by and just kind of pull out a few plugs connecting this generator, and you see the lights start to kind of like dim, and like some of the robots start like looking around, almost like panicking, like, what? And you just continue out the door?
Yep.
Cool. As you get to the door, you feel this second blast hit the ship.
Uh-oh.
And a notification comes up on your HUD. Dex 4 through 12 have experienced catastrophic decompression. Dex 3 to the bridge and the docking bay still intact.
Okay, cool.
And you know, being someone who is familiar with ships and tech stuff in general, that if a ship loses that many dex to decompression, it's probably not going to last too much longer.
Dang.
And the time to go. And you step out into the hallway where you encounter this group of people at the end of the hallway. You see this towering, imposing lizard-ish alien, a human, a robot, and they're all kind of standing near the med bay that you passed earlier when you got to this deck. Marty, Celia has started slowly moving around the med bay, collecting a few things for herself, and she turns to you and says, hey, can you pilot a ship?
Did not go over that in my schooling, so no.
Well, crap. Okay, well no worries. I think I can manage it. We need to get, and she heads towards the door of the med bay and stops and sees you, Zahn, and Ollie, and looks down the hall and sees Bruce. And then Polaris, you step out into the hallway just then.
Okay, cool.
And says, well, looks like there's plenty of other civilians here. Anyone know how to fly a ship?
Polaris isn't going to answer. He's just going to like head for the lift without saying anything until someone else says something.
Yoinks.
Blaris is just going to keep walking until other people start answering, because he doesn't know if they're talking to him or not.
what like, y'all are civilians, right? Like, you're not hegemony personnel?
No, yeah, I fix stuff. That's what I do.
Okay. The robot? Is this a war robot, service robot? What are you? What's your purpose?
What is my purpose?
Oh god, he just suddenly has like this.
Oh, no. Yeah, way to drop an esoteric mind bomb on a newborn consciousness.
Oh buddy.
He like slipped on some like spilt food or something in the cafeteria last night and I was fixing him. Like, he's probably no pilot.
And then Ollie's gonna shake himself out of his retrospection. He's going to use his ship repair chip knowledge to calculate. I'm assuming he would be able to figure out how much time is remaining. And he's going to yell,
yeah.
We've only got 36,299 cycles left. We got to go.
Yeah, as Polaris is walking by, they say, irritated, we should probably talk as we walk.
Well, and this is Celia speaking up again. She says, look, y'all seem like you're not part of the hegemony, so I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. There's a ship that got taken custody of. It's all very technical. The command keys are in my quarters upstairs. You get me off the ship and it's yours.
Okay. Yazana's like, okay, whatever. It's we gotta I'd rather not blow up today. Thank you. Yeah, let's do that.
And Celia turns to you, Marty, and says, I know you're probably wanting to like help people here on the ship and help the injured and stuff, but look, kid, you seem like a nice person, so I'm gonna level with you. The hegemony ain't really all it's cracked up to be. They're pretty bad dudes and dudettes and other people, so I recommend just getting out of here before you blow up with this ship.
Oh, good to know. This is a shitty internship.
Wait, you're an intern? You're not even paid?
Well, I mean, like, I still gotta get, like, the medical stuff is kind of weird. Like, you gotta go through some steps. I just graduated, so it's just kind of like I'm going through the steps.
Man, college seems like a scam. And she just motions for you to follow and walks out.
I'm gonna follow.
Is this an elevator or?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a lift.
Ollie
yeah.
is gonna be standing there repeatedly and hurriedly pressing the button while also pleading with the elevator as if it was a person. Like, I know we've had our troubles in the past, I know, but we just need to get out of here right now. It's a really bad situation. We need to get out of here right now.
Bruce, you hear all this commotion. Do you just follow along, or are you going to get off the ship? Or?
Oh, Bruce definitely is just following along silently.
Sure. The lift door opens, Ollie, at your constant button pushing, and you see a panel of numbers, the number 2, the letter B, and the letter D, and those are all lit up with green, although the letter B also has a keyhole that needs to be turned in order to go to it, and Celia mentioned that the key is in her quarters on deck 2. And you see the decks 4 through 12 are all lit up in red. And you know that red means not accessible.
Pushing that number 2.
Heck yeah. Good choice. Let's go.
I mean, y'all can try and hack the ship. Totally fine. I mean,
deck 2. Cool. Deck 2.
Deck 2. Deck 2. Cool. So you all pop up over here. So y'all step out onto deck 2. And I'm going to need a skill check, or no, sorry, a dexterity save.
Oh no.
Or sorry, a physical, I guess is technically what it's called here.
Indeed.
Hold on. Yes.
Oh, I think it would be evasion if you're looking for.
Oh yes, evasion. That is what I'm. Thank you. Yes, that is what. Mm-hmm.
Sick.
Yeah, an evasion save, and so basically you want to get higher than the number that's listed there on your character sheet.
And this is rolling
a d20.
A d20. Sorry, d20.
Ha. Oh no.
What modifiers do you add to it?
It's just a d20, I think.
It's just a straight.
I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Bruce's first roll in the game is, yep.
Yo!
Yep!
Nice!
We get a whole bunch of ones before we even get...
Wait, right. I'm sorry, real quick with those rolls again?
Who rolled what? They got yet.
Oh, gotcha.
No. Oh, I did. I have a 17.
Oh, okay, perfect.
So I passed.
Yeah.
I got a I'm 1.
I got a nat 20.
Oh, no.
I got a 4.
Okay, well... Caden, you're not alone, at least, because Captain Celia also rolled a 1.
No! Look, Bruce is big. Yeah. He does not move fast, okay?
Zahn got a nat 20.
Yeah, Zahn's a ninja.
Nah, it's the freaking teleports, boots, man. It's the heavy boots.
So two of you succeeded and the rest failed?
Oh my gosh.
No, it's fine. It's totally fine.
Don't worry about it.
I was just checking before I roll this dice. So as you step out into the hallway, the ship gets hit again with what feels like multiple tiny blasts all at once. And there's an energy surge in the panel next to you in the hallway. And it starts to surge. Let's see. Ollie, you got a 5. Zahn, you got a 20. Sorry, I'm trying to remember who got what. One more time.
No, you're good. I'll just type it in chat.
That's fine.
Yeah, same.
Sorry.
You're good. Quick question. Would Polaris unplugging parts of the generator help with that in any way?
If anything, it would actually make it worse.
Oh, sweet.
That's why I'm rolling 2 damage dice for this.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, wonderful.
I thought it would cut the power.
Why does it sound like you're using the big dice, Josh? Or Avery.
I would never. Okay, 17. Okay, cool. So Polaris and Zahn, you notice the surge happening just moments before it happens, and you're able to kind of both, like, almost like in sync with each other, barrel roll a little bit ahead and miss this explosion. But the rest of you all see this... this surge of electricity kind of shoot out and shocks y'all for 4 damage.
Oh gosh.
I'm gonna ask the very important question.
Sure.
Did it break my favorite blender?
Oh.
Please save the blender.
Oh no.
Please. Was the blender okay?
Blender's fine.
Good.
You, in fact, Bruce, that's why you took damage, is that you saw this surge happening and your instinct was not to self-preserve yourself. It was to preserve this blender.
Correct.
And you,
thank goodness.
Like a parent covering a child from something dangerous, you just wrap your body around it and take this little surge of electricity into your body itself. And Celia is... again, hurt pretty bad. Not dead, but looking pretty banged up. And with that, the ship is still under attack and very much not long for this universe. Ollie, you said you were trying to... Earlier, you said something about calculating how long you have left. Okay, if you actually want to roll that, you can. It would definitely be intelligence.
Oh, it was just a gag for him to, you know, use an incomprehensible time...
Oh, okay.
Time unit.
You could roll intelligence programming to kind of figure out how long you have until the ship is probably not stable.
Okay. Hold on. I gotta figure out how to use this advanced dice roller again. These are D12 we're going for?
2D6.
I roll 3 because of reasons, and I got an 8. Actually, no. Int, so it's 9.
9? Yeah, so you calculated like how many cycles this was earlier, and the calculations finally roll in, and it's actually about 40 minutes that you have to get off the ship.
Oh, we're good.
You'll be fine. Totally
fine.
Don't
need to stop for tea.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm assuming...
That's as of ship right now, not...
yeah, exactly.
Take 4 more hits. Shave off.
Well, I'm guessing Polaris would be able to convert cycles into real time.
Yeah, you could probably tell Polaris and Polaris would just be 40 minutes.
Yeah, cool. Celia picks herself up off the ground and is just like, by the way, I haven't met all of you yet. Name's Captain Celia, former captain. My quarters should be just down here, on second door on the left. So yeah, let's try not to get blown up anymore. And she hurries down the hallway. And
yeah, as she's talking, Polaris was probably still walking.
Yeah, so was on.
Sure. And yeah, let's see. Do you want to try and open her quarters or explore any of these other rooms first or what? Because you've got, as you step out of the lift, there's two doors to your left and right, and then there's her quarters, which is further down.
Would Ollie have said anything about how much time we have left?
He made the joke before we got into the hallway. Yeah.
I thought you made the calculations for now, like after that last hit.
Oh, I was just letting him know that the calculation finally finished, so if he wants to share that, that's totally fine. If not, that's also fine, I guess.
Okay, well, I'm going to yell the thing I yelled earlier now instead, then. That we have the however many cycles left.
Okay, that's fine. It's not a big deal. It's okay. Cool. So y'all are in this hallway, and Celia opens the door to her quarters. So as you come into the captain's quarters, you see a fancier set of accommodations compared to what you all were probably sleeping on when you were staying on this ship. Except for Polaris, of course, you had the worst accommodations by having to sleep in a smuggler's hold.
Let's go.
But this is a very fancy room. It actually has room to move around and enjoy yourself. There is a table and a desk and a fancy storage chest and bookshelves with data pads on them and a very comfy looking bed, much comfier than the little cots that they gave all the civilian workers that got hired on. And Celia walks in and kind of holds up her hand and it's just like, wait, do you hear that? And what you hear is the sound of running water coming from presumably the restroom in this room.
I mean, most of the ship is broke, lady. Probably. Just get the key and let's go.
Sure. She says, yeah, I'll start looking for the key. Y'all can either keep a lookout or help whatever you want. But yeah, let's. And she starts rummaging through the desk. Do any of you want to do anything in here while she's doing that or just wait?
Polaris is just going to wait until she gets the keys so that he can take the keys. Not like steal them from her, but like I'm the driver.
Okay.
I guess now that it's like brought to his attention, San's going to like peek in the bathroom, I guess, to be like, yeah, it's totally a busted water line.
Yeah. So as you start walking up to this door, you do hear the water shut off.
It fixed itself.
I give it a 2-tap. Like, knock on the door, I guess.
You don't hear anything. In fact, you specifically hear nothing now. Like, there was something. It was almost seemed like there was, like, movement, and then as soon as you tapped, like, it just went silent in there. And Celia shouts, I got him! And holds
Polaris
up.
Polaris holds out his... Yeah.
Holds out, like, a...
Polaris... Hold...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Celia holds up a small little, like, basically a big silver key, essentially. That's what we'll call it. And is very excited and is looking very victorious and looks over at you, Zan, just as you give the door a double tap and the water shuts off. And she kind of freezes for a moment.
All right, well, while she freezes, Polaris will just take the key.
Sure. You yoink the key out. And Celia rushes over to her bedside and starts rummaging under the bed. Zan, you are still in front of this door, and from inside you hear like a zip, like a zipper going up.
I hit the open button on the door.
Okay.
Door panel.
You open the door and are face to face with the barrel of a laser pistol.
Yoinks.
Thank you for listening to the first episode of Beyond the Furthest Stars. Beyond the Furthest Stars is a 1UP Podcast Network production. Be sure to check out more of our shows at 1uppodcasts.com. Intro and outro music produced by Dustin Carpenter. You can find him on Instagram at Zodiac Gallery. Check out their most recent Twin Peaks-inspired project, Wisteria Lodge, wherever you stream music. Background music provided by tabletopaudio.com and used under an attribution, non-commercial license from Creative Commons. Tracks include Starforged Space, Starship Bridge, Orbital Platform, Robotics Lab, Starship Medical, and Gravity. Get some great tabletop audio for your games at tabletopaudio.com. Polaris was voiced by B. Bruce was voiced by Caden. Zahn was voiced by Sherman. Ollie was voiced by Chris. Marty was voiced by Janine Florence. And all other characters were voiced by me, Avery Fisher. Be sure to follow us on all the social medias at FurthestPod and let us know what moment from this episode was your favorite. Use the hashtag SpaceVibes to share your wonderful sci-fi stories with us. We'll be releasing episodes on the 1st and 15th of every month. Until then, we'll see you out there beyond the furthest stars.